Book of Haggai this morning, or Haggai, whatever one you want to call it. I've heard it said different ways. I've heard it's the book of Haggai and then the prophet Haggai. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be preaching this morning. Pastor Ogle texted me a couple weeks ago as I was going into evangelistic preaching class. And I've preached three times in that class now this semester, and it's been really good. I've learned a lot. Dr. Beal teaches that class, and similar to what Pastor Ogle was saying this morning as far as learning how to preach, in that class he gave a disclaimer the first day saying, okay, everything that is going to be said in this class isn't to demean you or say how terrible you are, but then he said, as you go out, it is when you preach, I'm going to be all the way behind you. You know, right now I'm going to be critiquing you as far as, you know, you kept unbuttoning and buttoning your jacket or, you know, whatever. But, and then he's pretty adamant about some things, you know. He's like, if you ever do that again, I'm gonna come up and slap you, you know. But I've learned a lot in that class, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach in church. There's five guys in that class, so preaching to five guys, not the restaurant, but five guys. And we're in Haggai this morning. Book of Haggai, and we're going to be in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Have you ever been distracted? That's kind of a given. We've all been distracted at some point from a task that we were supposed to be doing. We get distracted. And you know, the worst time to be distracted is when you're driving. About 3 years ago, I was working down in South Carolina for a Food Lion distribution center and living with my grandma Bolson down there. And my parents were in a hotel in Charlotte, and I was going to go up and meet them. I was driving up there, and there's just a ton of traffic that day. There was all kind of traffic. And while I was driving, there was a whole bunch of wrecks, and more wrecks than I've ever seen in my life. I think I counted six of them all on the way up. And as I'm driving, I believe that the reason why traffic gets backed up because of wrecks is people just want to watch. You know, they want to, you know, what happened? You know, it's not because it's jammed up, because as soon as you pass it, it's everybody's vroom, 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 and then you forget about the wreck by the time you get home. So it's like, anyways. But as we're driving, you see a wreck here, and then, you know, you can see up there another one, and then you see another one, and there's, it just took a lot longer than it was supposed to be. And actually, two car lengths ahead of me, a Penske truck got in a wreck, hit an SUV, or broke the windshield and everything. And so I'm, you know, driving, trying not to wreck as well, but I'm driving, and I'm looking, and then all of a sudden, bam, I hit the guy in front of me. And it's actually a vehicle I have out there right now. But that was my first wreck and only wreck. But I hit the guy, and I was like, great, now I'm part of the number. But so pull off, and I get out, go to the guy's driver's door, and he's on the phone, kind of wait for him. And he gets out, and he had already got on the phone with the police to come. And what the police actually did was he was on the other side of the road. It was interstate. And he just drove across to where we were. He got out, looked, and his bumper was fine, my bumper was fine. He's like, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have called. But then we just stood there and talked for the police to come over. He was from Salisbury going to work. But anyways, I got distracted from driving, and I hit the guy. And in this passage, we find a people that are distracted. They got distracted. The title of my message this morning is Keep Your Eyes on the Road. Keep your eyes on the road. When we come to this passage, we find the Israelites. They had been conquered by the Babylonians and destroyed. The Babylonians destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and had taken the Israelites captive. And then later, the Medo-Persian Empire conquers Babylon. And after several decades, King Cyrus allows for the Israelites to return back to their home and build the temple. And after arriving in Jerusalem, the Israelites start to build the temple immediately, but then they get distracted from their task and start building their own homes. And this morning, the central truth that I wanted to get across is we must stay focused on God and His work. We must stay focused on God. And I want to look at a couple principles this morning. The first is we are to accomplish the duty. We are to accomplish the duty. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, that dwell in your houses, and this house lie waste. Verse 4. And then verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So the Israelites had a task. The task was to build the temple, God's house. And the Jews had been given this assignment, and after 15 years, it had been 15 years, and God's house, the temple, had not been finished. For those that of you are in school, either college or high school or other academic learning, you get assignments. And at the beginning of the year, you get a syllabus. And on that syllabus, you have a list of assignments that the teacher wishes you to have done at the end of the semester. And also on the syllabus is a late work policy. If you don't finish it by this time, you get this much deducted, and if so much time goes, you get a zero. And the Israelites have been given a task to do, and after 15 years, it still hadn't been done. They were late in finishing the task that God had been given them. Who all has worked construction, like as a construction worker for a company? I have, and I work for a construction company that build homes. And when a construction company signs with a owner that wants to build a house, they're going over the blueprints and so forth. You set down a time for when you want it done. You know, by this time I want it done, and then most of the time the company agrees. You know, if it's this many days late, we'll reimburse you. You know, start paying money each day it's late. And in this passage, we find that the Israelites hadn't finished the work that God had given them, and they were paying for it. They were paying for it. They didn't know specifically why, But you can see it in verse 6. In verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Verse 9. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to you little. And when ye brought in home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called you for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of thy hands. They didn't know it, but they were paying for it. When you don't do the Lord's will and follow his commands, you will pay for it in one way or another. You may not know it. It may be God withholding blessings from you. He wants to bless you, but because of your lack of following his will and his commands, I can't do it. You end up being chastened rather than blessed. And I want to ask you this morning, what is the duty that God has given you? What is the will or command that he's given you that you're distracted from? The Bible gives us a summary of the two commands that God gives us. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. All the rest of the commandments hang on these two. So do you have a love for God that with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with that you will have a desire for God's word, and you will be searching it for what he reveals in every page of his word. Every commandment, every principle, you'll be following that. And so that is our duty. Our duty is to love the Lord and then love others as ourselves. And with that, all the other commandments. So we must accomplish the duty that God has given us. And then we must avoid the distraction. Avoid the distraction. Verse 4 says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And then verse 9 says, and ye looked for much, and lo, it came unto you, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, ye run every man to his own house. They had prioritized their homes and their own comfort over the duty that God had given them, and they had become distracted. There are thousands of Christians across America and this world that are not serving the Lord today because of distractions. Many of the times it's subtle distractions. I can see the Israelites working on the temple, and a guy speaks up, and he's like, you know, hey guys, this is hard work, you know. I'm tired. And, you know, we would be able to get a lot more work done if we had our own houses. You know, I don't get that much sleeping in a tent, you know. If we had my own house, I could get a good night's sleep, and then I would have enough energy, you know, to build on the temple. You know, so it's those subtle, you know, I'm going to do this in order that I can do this, but then you end up being distracted and just have this other. And in our culture today, we justify our actions in so many ways. You know, yes, everyone needs a pineapple core, you know, or whatever new invention that, you know, you justify why you're getting it. But in our culture, it's when we feel entitled or just get something or have that desire to have, each time we do it, we are pulled further and further from accomplishing the duty that God has for us. Amen. And what comfort, I want to ask you, what comfort is distracting you from completing God's will in your life? Is it social comfort? You ask, what do I mean by that? Social comfort is when I'm not going to tell my coworker about the Lord because it discomforts me. I'm not going to speak up when I'm in a crowd and there's wrong going on because I want to fit in. You know, I'm not going to give this tract because I want to be comfortable, socially comfortable. And then there's materialistic comfort. In America today, we have the comfort idea is so prevalent. And we have neglected the call of God, and in following Him and completing our duty that He has given to us, our assignment, our task, for the comforts of this world. We want our sealed houses, not in a literal sense, but we want the things that we want and not the things that God wants. Many times what you spend your resources on reflects the priorities that you have. Where are your priorities this morning? Is it on things that are eternal or things that are temporal? Things that will last, investing in other people's lives, in your family's life, in your friend's life? Or is it on things that will last for God? What's distracting you from being fully submitted to God? You can have materialistic distractions, you can have social comfort distractions, but the devil would love to distract you with sin. Sin's distraction. The devil would love to put anything and everything that he can in front of you in order to distract you from the Lord's will. You know, this over here, this. Satan would love to distract each and every one of us this morning from not fulfilling the will of God. So we must acknowledge our duty, we must accomplish the duty, avoid the distractions, and then thirdly, we must acknowledge the deity. We can't do it without the Lord. We're going to be distracted. We have our task, but we're going to be distracted. The Lord's going to give. He's going to put those distractions in front of us. The devil's going to do that. And we can't do it on our own. What does John 15:5 say? For without me, ye can do nothing. I did a Devo for the crowd the other day. We do a crowd Devo every Friday. And the Lord's been teaching me through this verse, for without me, ye can do nothing. And that applies in so many different ways than we generally think. We generally think that in a physical sense, in that I can't get up here and preach without you, Lord. Or I can't finish all these assignments without you. I can't do this without you. But then, we accept, and in that same sense, we have it for salvation. We can't get to heaven without Jesus. You know, we put our trust in Him. It is only through Jesus. Lord, I need you to get to heaven. But then it seems as soon as we get saved and we put our reliance on Him, it's like we're like, all right, now that I am saved, now that I've put my trust in you, now I have to be a good Christian. Now it's, I have to do this. You know, I have to prove myself in serving the Lord. And in this verse it says, for without me you can do nothing. There's nothing that we can do. And a lot of times I find myself, as we get preached to, you know, oh, that was a good message. You know, I need to work on that. And the thing is, we say, I need to do that. You know, the guy preaches, you know, on having humility. And then I'm in my seat praying and like, yes, I need to do that. I need to be more humble. And then I forget that without Jesus, I can do nothing. I can't be humble without the Lord. I can't have more faith without the Lord. I can't have a better soul-winning desire without the Lord. You need the Lord or Jesus with the spiritual aspects as well, for anything and everything. And we can't not be distracted and not do the task that God has given us without Jesus. And we see this in verses 12 through 15, the end of the chapter. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. The word was preached to him by Haggai the prophet. He was given to him, and they responded. They acknowledged the deity, and they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger unto the Lord's message unto this people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord's with us. He doesn't want us to be distracted. He wants us to finish the task. He says, I am with you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They acknowledged the deity. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're striving to do the task, you're striving to do the duty, and you don't feel like you're distracted, but you're doing it in your own power. You're not relying on the Lord. Brother Jake DeAndre preached the Rekindle conference yesterday, and he used an illustration that it was really visual to me. He had a vacuum cleaner in the middle of the aisle, and he was just pushing it around without it on. He's like, this is so many Christians. You know, I am doing soul winning. You know, I'm witnessing. I'm serving the Lord. But all that is pushing a vacuum cleaner. And nothing's happening. And it's only when we rely on Jesus and his grace and his power that we turn it on. And then it starts working. It's not just doing, it's doing with the Lord's strength and with his power that it works. And that was visual to me, and I just wanted to share that with you this morning. Is only when we rely on God and his power and his strength and his grace that he can do what lasts for eternity. When you acknowledge God and his power and rely on him to complete the task, the blessings will return. When the Lord had taken away the blessings from Israel, he had, you sow and you're not reaping, you're drinking, but you're still thirsty. He's withholding the blessings. And in chapter 2, we're not going to go there, but in the chapter 2 of this book, it says that the Lord's blessings return when they started working on the temple again, when they started rebuilding, when they started obeying the Lord's will. When you acknowledge God, he will return the blessings. Do you come to the Word of God and are asking yourself, what does God want me to do? How does he want me to live? Do we come to church and are desirous of, what does God have for me this morning? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to learn? Or do we just come out of habit or just out of duty? But he has something for us, and we must not be distracted from the task that we have. And Paul, in the New Testament, Paul writes of a man named Demas, and he was distracted by the things of this world, and he had forsaken them. But Paul wraps up this whole message in I believe one verse, in Philippians 3 and verse 14, when he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he's pressing toward a mark in Christ Jesus. So the mark is the task or assignment that God has given us. The duty that he has for us is the mark. And he's pressing toward, he's focused, he's going toward that. He's avoiding this distraction. And then it's in Christ Jesus. He's acknowledging the deity. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your task? What God has given you to do? What's distracting you? Is it sin or materialistic things? Are you acknowledging the Lord and His deity and His enablement to do that? I hope you will. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning and the opportunity to be in your house this morning. I thank you for your word and how it is, it convicts and teaches. And I thank you for the book of Haggai and its principles and how it gives us the way that we should be living. And I pray that each heart this morning will be totally yielded to you. And I pray that we will do the task that you have given us without distractions. And I pray that we will rely on your strength in doing so. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.